sexy, spooky bones.
Welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I am John.
What the fuck?
Trying to act casual so people will relate.
This is our Playboy episode. We're just smoking cigarettes and lounging.
It's because I sat with a potential mentally ill person and rehashed memories I thought I had forgotten about. Forgot that I was friends with a ventriloquist that could, or a dummy that could talk.
It drove you mad when you.
It stunted my growth, my arrested development.
Okay, where are we? And welcome to the show. This week we will review Mads. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner. We are reviewing from season 3, episode 5, The Light of Day, which I imagine you're going to love this episode because people just call out how stupid Tabitha is, which is...
No, like for once, you know, the way the town was arguing, which I know is just the way people, like I feel like they're making fun of specific people now every time they write.
People. Yeah.
Like just like nobody's really thinking. Everybody just wants to be mad.
Yeah.
I personally got riled up with that whole fucking like them shitting on Tabitha. Like, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? And I was like, you fucking try it then. that's where Boyd comes in, like, no, these trees exist, but like this happened and this happened. We just didn't mention it. They're like, well, we have to try, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know what? If I was Boyd, I'd be like, go, please go. Just go, please.
He did it. That's what's crazy. By the end of this episode, he's like, you see what happens when you do this? Yeah. Everybody, listen to me. He's like.
He's just so bent on, like, saving everybody in this town. I'm like.
He. I mean, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, right? But, like, he took the death of. I guess we could say it, right? Death of Dale, and like specifically used it as a point to be like, everybody needs to fall in line now. You guys are crazy. Which is, I mean, he has a point. He has a point. I mean, he is desperately trying to be considerate and try to look after everybody in the town, despite everybody.
But some of the arguments, right, against Tabitha, where it's like, you were out there and you didn't, you know, you didn't do this or that, and it's like, man, it's a lot to deal with. Like, these people need to chill the fuck out. And then somebody was like, how come you didn't tell anybody about us? And I was like, that's a great point. Why wouldn't your first instinct be, please help me?
They do have a great point, because what did she do? She borrowed the phone and she called her mom and didn't tell her mom where she was.
Yeah.
Why? You know what I mean? Like, they kind of have a point.
Because that is a, unfortunately, a family of idiots that are going to get everybody else killed on the show.
It's, yeah, I guess, that the way they, what was great about the scene was that they completely justifiably make practical, you know, logical arguments for her, like why didn't she do enough? And I honestly couldn't disagree with any of them.
It's true, yeah. I was like, I wanted to be mad with the amount of pressure she was under.
Yeah.
But then, I'm getting ahead of myself, I think, when I talk about an argument that happened later where I'm like, you know what? These are actually good points too.
Right.
Maybe Tabitha is a part of the problem.
I think she, is feels like she's justified, because her whole purpose was that she was trying to find meaning there during season two, which eventually led her to the kids, which eventually led her to the kid, the other kid with the all white wear shorts. And her escaping, because that was her purpose. And they end up trying to define her purpose more by saying that she is like a chosen one or something.
Yeah.
And so, like,
I'm just saying, she is doing all these things which are important to the story of the show.
She's gonna, yeah.
But Jim's a shitty dad for staying behind and trying to make sure the kids are okay. But she's a really good mom for bailing on her actual kids to save some dead kids. I don't know. They're already dead. I don't know what you're saying.
It's true.
And this kid in all white that clearly has been a kid in all white since Victor was around, who is older than Tabitha. So,
right.
I'm not sure what the logic is, but they're doing it.
She definitely made mistakes. Mistakes were made, John. by Tabitha escaping.
Pretty major mistakes, actually. And then her deciding to freak out because she was like, I'm still in the thing. I'm
like, okay. Right, yeah. I mean, we're getting too ahead of ourselves, but like that spills over into a conversation I think you're referring to for the next episode.
Yeah, which I decided I'll just leave that out for now.
Okay.
But it's like, it did put a lot of things into perspective, and I was like, yeah, why is she not? It's like she's running away from her family more so than Jim.
She just fucking wanted to find where the lights led. Remember, she like dug up this fucking, the...
Which, great, that's a good thing. But how does it lead you from like, I need to leave my family?
Well, I recall not liking that in season two, that the fact that she decided to leave without telling her family where she was going after she found the holes, like the when her house collapsed, and she ended up going down there by herself, and she didn't even tell Jim or anybody else anything. I think
do we miss like them fixing that part of the house or something?
I think they're in a new house. They're sharing a house with somebody else. I don't think they fixed it.
Because that straight up is like a opening to those things coming out. Like, I
don't right, yeah.
I don't know how that helps anything.
Yeah. They didn't really explicitly, I don't remember explicitly how they dealt with it, but I think they just, don't they live with Kenny's mom who died? They live somewhere different.
Jade, right?
Jade definitely does, but I also think they're in a new home, and I'm assuming it's with her.
Just because I think this is the same episode where they walk in. Oh no, was that the previous episode? Sorry, I'm getting them mixed up. They walk in on Jade in the house, and there's like, he's done like a, like he's going kind of mad.
Right.
The idea of trying to figure out what the numbers and everything means.
Right. I kind of feel like they stuck him in the bar more, Jade, because he's,
yes,
going crazy or whatever this season.
What else happens? Oh yes, so they all tell Tabitha how stupid
she is. That was your best part.
just collectively.
Yeah.
And then finally she leaves after everybody's like, well, there are these trees that take us places, and
right,
even Boyd's like, well, hold on, first you have to get through like a fucking weird thing of like, there might be spiders. He doesn't really mention that, but like, there's things out there. Like, it's, there's more than just what we see. And when I went through the tree, I fell into the bottom of a well. Like, I didn't even land anywhere.
Right.
She got lucky and landed in a tower.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm going to guess, and I might be jumping ahead, right? Sorry. We are definitely not doing two episodes. Because there's like a numbers thing that they're trying to figure out. I feel like Jade is onto something, and I feel like it's all going to pinpoint when you can go through a tree or not.
Yeah. What happened? What did they say? I don't know if they said it this episode or not, but they said that the bottle tree he found, they took the bottles off, which is all that shit that fucking Jade has. The numbers.
Oh, yeah. I I think that is the next episode.
I'm a little, we're a little ahead.
Importantly, yeah, we should just talk about our boy Dell, who's like the shining light of these episodes.
Of logic, yeah. He's always great for a cameo, Dale.
And comes right in, and Jade kind of convinces Tabitha to take him to the tree, right? One of the trees?
Right.
And they go, and Dell is like, oh, so this is one of the trees. Like, he just was, like, following them. Because also, Dell is an expert spy. Nobody could tell that they were being followed by Dell. He was like, all right, well, I'll see you later. He makes some sort of snarky comment, like, I told you so type of thing. But you could sense, like, he was kind of scared. And then I feel like they wrote his character into a wall
at that point. Yeah.
Quite literally, actually. They find him inside of the swimming pool wall.
Yeah, the empty swimming pool. They find somebody finds him, like, how would you describe it? Like, his face and hands, like, he was sent into it, so he's like a part of the walls, but he's being crushed or dying.
Yeah, I think it's like his body, only parts of his body were able to make it into empty spaces, and the rest of it was just crushed by cement.
Man quickly dies, yeah, after.
And that's, everybody's looking at it. Boyd comes in and is about to mercy kill him, but he just passes away.
And then, yeah, Boyd does the whole, like, I told you so, you guys. I'm trying to protect you, while swinging a gun around.
Yeah, Boyd. The King Kong ain't got shit on me. Like
that. No,
same energy, though.
I'm making fun of the scene, but I thought it was a good moment for Boyd. Boyd is, like, at his wit's ends with these people because they just don't understand what he's seen and what he's experienced there yet. So the way they're fucking also with him now, right? The way the creatures are fucking with him.
Because Donna's character is making a weird 180. Like, it's no longer like conflict, conflict, conflict. She's just like giving up.
She's a little on the peripherals this season, right? Because before she used to be like I would describe her as a second in command, as somebody, an important leader with up there with Boyd. And I feel like she's been a little, you know, she's been kind of just not really knowing, like, she's kind of feels disconnected from all of the whatever, like, supernatural stuff going around in the town this year.
Yeah.
So, we forgot about reunion of Victor and his dad. Does his dad have a name?
Yeah, Victor's dad.
That's his name.
Robert Joy as Victor's dad.
Robert Joy is Victor's dad. He's not even in, like, the main top cast. It's like, what is this?
Henry.
I think it'd be easier just to call him Victor's dad. I'm not gonna remember that. That's just
yeah. It's like a new cop is Acosta. I'm not gonna remember that. Just kill her off.
Yeah, I feel like she's gonna stay, dude.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
She's also got a very dramatic way of acting.
So of course we know we're waiting for this reunion since the beginning of this season, is Victor's dad and Victor finally have a scene together. They kind of finally tell Victor about it, or they finally reunite, because I think Donna told Victor, hey, your dad's here, and Victor of course freaks the fuck out. It's like
he's like, no. He like walks out.
Yeah.
This is also, yeah, they all leave to the town meeting except for what's the daughter's name?
Julie
and Elgin, right, kind of stay behind. I thought more spooky stuff was going to happen. I feel like Julie is in route to becoming sort of what happened to Boyd's wife. I feel like she's going to hit a point where she thinks that she needs to die and kill everybody else.
Yeah, it kind of seems like whatever happened last year between Randall, Julie, and what's her name? Mari. that's not, that hasn't, even though Boyd saved them, it just doesn't seem like that it's kind of coming back up again. So,
which in this actual timeline, that was like a month ago or something, right?
Maybe less. I would say less time than that. Yeah, a couple of weeks.
Oh yeah, it's been an awful run for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I really liked Victor and his dad. Their scene together, Robert Joy and the guy who plays Victor. They had a great, they eventually, you know, get together and they hug it out or whatever. But what I didn't like was I think it's a very, very like from thing is that they kind of just like clumsily lead you to the reunion when I think it could have been done more precise and emotional. It was just kind of like, I don't know, like Donna tells Victor. Victor runs away, obviously, right? But I think it could have been like a more clean way to write that scene. That could have been more emotional, yeah, be satisfying.
When they wrote Victor saying stuff like, you know, I've drawn everything since I've been here, but I never drew my dad. Like, it was a sad thing, and then nothing came out of it. I also do enjoy, now that we understand the show, the very from thing of people see Sarah Myers, and Sarah Myers is like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get out of here. I'll see you in a couple of episodes. And then she disappears.
Yeah, she fucks off. Well, see, I didn't like that they very intently were like, I thought we were going to actually have some resolution to the ventriloquist this episode, but they just dropped that. And then they're saving that, I guess, for the next episode. Hint, they don't mention it again. So,
Randall is, for good reason, really upset with Boyd.
Yeah, because Randall, I like how they're doing Randall's character, right? Because like he tried to do the right thing, and Boyd kind of fucked him over. So, but I mean, I kind of understand Boyd's point too. Is for the good of the group, right? Like he's thinking of like everybody instead of just Randall. But and I thought it was very cruel that the creatures left him alive because they purposely want that conflict between the group. I think they mention that they keep bringing that up, that they want the conflict, the creatures, because they feed off of it. It's something about that.
Yeah. Oh, they like also really want to break Boyd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like a point to hurt Boyd, because Boyd says that this place can't get the best of him. And they're like, oh yeah, really? Okay, well here, we're going to start fucking with you now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. Yeah. The most important thing is we lost Del. through the in memoriam.
Yeah.
Del, we never knew your last name. But I'm sure it was perfect. Del.
Dale Delinson.
From season 2, I guess technically season 1 last episode to now.
Yeah, I kind of felt like he's had like a nice cameo, a fun cameo, a memorable cameo in each episode he's been in. So RIP to him. Also,
oh, what's up with Clara? I like
Clara.
I like the character. We don't know anything about her whatsoever. She lives in the farmhouse with everybody. She's like the nicest person there. She's always coming in and saying something super sweet and then disappearing.
I don't know who this is.
Played by Katrina Bakulayas. She's like constantly wearing like some sort of like bandana, like a colorful one. I'll point her out next time.
She's not.
Another one of these characters has been around since season 1. Like just kind of
just hanging out in the back.
Kinda. Or like presents something important to somebody, like, oh, we'll try this, and then disappears.
Real quick, we'll just mention it because we need to mention it because it ties to the next episode, is Julie and Elgin comfort each other and play dress up and take pictures of each other. So keep that in the back of your mind, farmers.
And I was informed by our senior analyst of trivia, Rolando, that the actors that portray Del and Donna, D&D, if you will, are married in life.
Oh, yeah, the actors. That was a real heartbreaking to hear. That it was cute. And then it was heartbreaking because they're not going to be on the show together anymore. But Donna and Del are the actors are married to each other. So did not know that.
There you go.
There you go.
Now
to the main event.
Something I'm not looking for.
let's start talking about it. Alrighty, let's move over to our main review of Mads. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Mads, the French film.
Oh, French.
Weird, right?
Didn't know it's French. I get subtitle movie. I don't know.
Coming in at number 3, weird live action Mads magazine.
Okay, yeah.
Is that what I thought that was?
Very good, yeah.
I was like, oh, this makes sense. Coming in at number 2, not a Rick James story.
Yes.
And coming in at number 1, gotta be Mads to finish.
Oh. That's very leading to what you've have expertly hinted at.
I'm telling you, I thought the movie fucking sucked. And you're like, I wonder how you felt about it.
Yeah. Didn't quite understand how you felt about it, but I don't know. How should we start this? I think I'll just say something quickly, and then you can say whatever you like. I think this movie, and I think you've said this before, and I think it resonates again. I think if we were in college, I think we would have loved this movie.
But this movie would have also been a little bit more groundbreaking while we were in college.
Okay.
Get what I'm saying? Well, like, I agree with you. I agree with you. But kind of like Train to Busan, like, that movie's excellent because it's an old movie. But if they made it today, I'd be like, this is okay.
Well, I mean, didn't Into the Void kind of come out more or less when we were in college? Or were you...
Yeah, we're still in college.
We're still in college, okay. A lot of similarities. Not one-for-one similarity to movies, but the concept of a... To quickly explain, Mads is considered a one-shot movie. So we're basically following a group of characters, friends, over a couple of hour period without cuts. So it's just like one continuous shot. Like the movie Enter the Void or Brushed Ark did this, or 1917 also did this scene. And it's always...
I mean, Children of Men had that last chapter was one long shot, right?
And these movies are always super fun because, like, as film fans, we like to look to see where the seams are of this movie, how they did it, how they actually pulled it off. Because you and I both know, like, they it wasn't all shot in one continuous shot. Yeah. They obviously, like...
I do like the trivia says, like, it was shot in one continuous take. Like, oh, okay, sure.
It's a gimmick. It's a gimmick. It's kind of like 3D or, like, Smell-O-Vision or 4D or whatever the fuck. It's a gimmick, yeah. So...
I can appreciate them trying to... They making it one shot replicates just going on a bad trip and how it just never seems to want to end.
Yes.
Which I think is a big point of this film.
Cool. Do you want to give us your thoughts?
I didn't care for this film.
Okay.
At all. I thought, like, the moments that they're kind of really dragging out so they can make a switch over on something and actually do a one take are very obvious.
Yes.
Because then it just seems like the scene just keeps dragging on and on and on and
nothing interesting going on. Yeah,
no, like that. I can feel these poor actors really trying their hardest to, like, do something interesting. Like, Like that was really starting to bug me. Like it was too much. I do like the idea. I do like the idea of you're not sure if this is like just a bad batch of drugs gone off. But then, you know, what happens at the end happens at the end. You're like, oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Which we've seen similar movies, and I can't think of any right now. But
yeah,
the same sort of concept of somebody like on drugs and then something really bad happens and like, oh, fuck.
Right. So you hated it.
I guess Enter the Void, actually. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Kind of the same exact idea. The guy was high when he gets killed at the beginning, right? Of Into the Void.
Yeah.
Like he's on something, drug deal gone wrong, Tokyo.
I think he's murdered, right?
Yeah, he gets shot through a bathroom door and he's not really sure what's going on. He starts floating into the air.
Becomes a ghost or something. Yeah. I'm gonna agree with you. Just to the point to where like you didn't like it. Cause I think for the most part, I enjoyed the movie. I could commend it. Like you said, like where they take the movie where like they're trying something trying something different to tell their story, you know, by doing this one shot. I think the only problem I had with the movie is, where I could be critical of it, is that I don't think the characters are interesting, which sucks unfortunately there's not really like a main protagonist, because the person we start with is not, this is not a spoiler, but like the person you start with is not the person you end the movie with, the final frame of, and we kind of jump around to different characters, which almost made it feel like segments.
Yes.
But I wanted more, and the movie wasn't like interested in doing that. It was kind of just trying to tell this very linear story through people's perspectives.
I think this is what also bothered me. It tried to make it too cool. Like it was cool.
Yeah.
Something about the way it was shot was like, you never seen this before, right? And I'm like, no, I have. I've seen it done better, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Though I will argue, like, there's some really striking imagery in this movie. Like, I think one of my favorite shots is in this movie that I've seen this year. The one where like they're on the bike together. That was cool. That was fucking amazing. In my opinion, that was like one of my favorite shots of the year. But yeah, I was kind of like missing that one thing where like, like something emotional to hang on to, because none of these characters are like, even like the things that we learn about them, because it's kind of like we meet a like teenager who takes like some red like glittery drugs or something, cocaine, I guess.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be like acid-ish or something like that.
And it's kind of like he's like our first thing, and then he like you can tell he's like struggling with it, and then, but none of the, like, the character had nothing redeeming about him or nothing like relatable for me. So it's kind of like he's going through these series of events, and I couldn't relate to him. And then, like, shockingly, like, it goes into like another segment. And then we never go back to that character again. And then, like,
because you can hear off screen, right, what happens
to him. But you know what I mean, like, and then like, then I kind of got like, okay, well that's not exactly what I thought this movie was. So it's a different type of movie. It's like we're doing segments of the same night kind of thing, and then that made me realize like, okay, well it's not the movie I thought, but like I'll just see where it leads and stuff like that. And I was more or less happy with what happened. I mean, I think there's a really cool idea, a fun idea that...
Something that bothered me was the casting choice for somebody at the very end. Just didn't make any sense to me for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we'll get to that. It's...
Yeah.
Some of the choices, I don't know.
Would you could even call this movie almost a zombie movie, right? Like, it's almost...
I would say it is a zombie
movie. It's a zombie movie.
I wasn't sure if that was a spoiler or not. because I think that's what we get from the beginning. We're not sure if the guy is tripping because he hits somebody with his car, he thinks, and then that person crawls into the car, can't talk, is missing their teeth and tongue.
It's very evident that they were experimented on.
Yes. And I think that that person was sort of ground zero patient of something.
Being gashed, basically like...
But then that person disappears, so you're not sure if the guy's just tripping or not.
It's like, she kills herself, right? Or something, right?
She tries to kill herself.
That's right.
And then she ends up in... Like, he's at a party. You find out that they're a group of people that just kind of freely fuck each other, I guess. I'm not sure.
Weird, nonsensical teenage drama. I completely agree with you. I didn't like any of it. It
was fucking... I just was like, I don't need this.
But yeah.
Okay. And he's tripping hard, and he's also seeing his eyes are turning different colors. You're not sure if that's the drugs or not. He's wearing some really cool looking mask that has like eight eyes.
Oh yeah,
like,
dude, like, that was fucked up. Yeah,
it's so scary.
Yeah,
it's just a mask, and I loved it. He ends up beating the shit out of some guy, and then hears that his house got broken into, and is trying to talk to the security people like, just disarm it. No, no, I'm there. No, no, just disarm it. Because he doesn't want his dad to know that he left. There's some sort of weird thing he has with his dad.
His dad doesn't care about him, yeah. Like,
no, just making sure that his car is okay.
Yeah, which he took. So it's...
And then he rides a bicycle back to his house. Apparently it wasn't...
One shot, remember, like, yeah, we haven't left him yet, so we've kind of... Everything he's experienced since leaving... I guess he went to go pick up drugs, right? And then...
Yeah, which was also weird because there are a couple shots that you focus on his girlfriend ? Like, and she's gonna leave him, but then she decides not to because he's acting weird. Then she finds out that her best friend also slept with him, and she's happy for her. I don't know.
It's French. They're very European relationships. So
he rides his bike back and then sees that in his bathtub that woman was still alive trying to kill herself.
Yeah.
Does not kill herself. Then these people in some weird ass masks come in and
then
shoot the shit out of her.
Yeah, it's like all hell kind of breaks loose. Yeah, it becomes...
Because this is where you're like, do these people exist? Because they kind of do this weird thing where they don't seem like they exist until they're very evidently real.
Right, yeah. I think I did like that part. I did like some of the... Though I didn't care for the characters, I did like some of the, like, mannerisms and of the characters. The little behaviors they did, you know? Like, little, like, jerks or twitching. Thank you. Yeah, I couldn't think of that word. A little twitching that they would do.
Just very, like, new wave zombie, right?
Right. Because there's this tension that's building, like, is this guy going to go, like, full zombie? Is he going to go, like, full, you know, turn into something? Or is he not? Or, like, it's kind of like this. And then there's other characters that kind of behave the same way. And it's kind of like, oh, this is kind of interesting. Like, everybody's acting a little different. But it's not, we call it zombies, but it's not really zombies. It's more like... Like, they lose their inhibition. They don't really have their, like, well, very...
I think you could still call it zombies. It's 28 days later zombies.
But
you know what I
mean?
Like, rage, they're brain dead, just going rage-filled people.
They're acting, like, on a very, like, primordial instincts, right? Like, the very...
Because at the end, we do see somebody eat somebody's face.
Yeah, and they're acting very, like... sexual, like they have no, like, restraints of society on them. I don't know if I'm describing that well, but, like,
oh, I wasn't sure. I thought, like you had mentioned, they're just French and teenagers.
See, yeah, it's just eating.
That's what I was like. They still have their humanity. Look, fucking, they're acting like whores. No,
smoking cigarettes, eating baguettes, and fucking
right in their little Vespa.
Oh, wee wee.
Which they were.
Yeah,
they were riding a Vespa at one point. Two different types, I think.
Yeah. The berets.
Because there's also that scene in when we're still following the guy, the first guy. I forgot what his name was.
not important, teenager. I don't think he had a name, be honest. Did he?
He went to... No, they said his name like a thousand times.
See, you're right. They did, yeah.
With some other dude.
Roman. It was Roman, I think. Yeah.
What the hell? Did you see that? Sorry, there's a thumbs up on my screen. Is it because I did this?
Some AI shit.
Yeah, it really
put your
is.
Put your fingers away. Yes.
I'm gonna make this point. No, sorry, that's not important. You can't see it, or maybe you can. No, it didn't matter. It's just ghosts. They're mad that I'm talking shit about the French.
They love Mads.
I was gonna say when you find out that the girl who is gonna talk to him, I was assuming gonna break up with him,
right,
to be with some other guy, is in a bathroom with this other girl, and they're doing the same drugs that he did earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when she's like, I slept with what's his face, and she's like, I'm happy for you.
But
she right before that, she mentions, like, have you done this before? She's like, yeah, I freaked out really hard for, like, I don't know. And she said that she had a really bad trip and was crying, and she kept seeing shit,
right?
But they're still gonna do the drugs again, teenagers.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds, I mean, accurate. It's
a horrible trip. Let's try.
Let's keep going. Let's try and find more times. Yeah. I think that scene was the one you're referring to when the friend tells the girlfriend. That's almost played like, I feel like they kind of played it like a joke. That's why she treats it like very nonchalantly. And then, but then they stay with her, and then you realize, like, oh no, she's serious. Like, yeah, she thinks she's pregnant or is pregnant, because she had just taken a pregnancy test. She's just taken a pregnancy test, her friend's like, oh, why are you taking a pregnancy test? You don't have sex and stuff like that. She's like, oh, I slept with your boyfriend. Then she's kind of like, wahaha, yeah, whatever, you can fuck him, whatever, and leaves. But then we stay with her and we realize, like, oh no, maybe it is true. Maybe she didn't lie in that scene.
Yeah. And then cut to, or not cut, but like, go back to his POV.
We float over.
He like tries to bang her before he leaves.
Right, yeah.
Beats the shit out of that guy for whatever reason.
Yeah.
No reason.
No reason.
Leaves on a bike to get back to his house. I think he ends up. How does this transition into, because this main, the guy that we think is our main guy, ends up getting shot too, because he goes Mads,
right? And they there's clearly, it seems like the people who experimented on the girl that he kind of picks up on his way home are after him. That's where it gets weird, right? Like, because they're like this, they're like, they're wearing like, they have guns and they have like hazmat suits or something, you know, like they're.
Yeah, are they scientists? Or are they, I don't know.
Are they the part of the government?
White thing,
yeah.
Towards the end, yeah.
Yeah, like it's odd. But
this is where, when we switch to his girlfriend or whoever she is, I forgot how that played out. Like, I guess she went to his house, and then he gets killed. Or what? What happens?
They all start running. I think they all. And she's, her story is more like she's running from these people in the streets and stuff.
Yeah. The thing is, like, halfway through that story, I'm like, this just feels like they're going through the motions. The same exact thing that happened to this guy, kind of. She's just a little bit more fun to watch because she's got more, like,
she's making different
animated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she's really going through it. And then when she gets picked up by the girl that's pregnant, gets a phone call, and there's this whole thing where, like, she's starting to change into something, like, Not physically, but you can see her mental stability is like going out the door in the back of the Vespa. She's getting a call from her mom, freaking out, who's in a wheelchair and can't get out, and saying there's something going on in the city. I don't know what to do. So she's gonna go, and her friend loses her mind and is trying to kill the pregnant girl, Nightingale Girl makes it back to her mom's apartment. And then this is where it's like, this feels like a repeat of what we just saw again.
Yeah.
I think that's where I started getting a little bored and like, oh my God, why? I don't know if I needed everybody's story.
Yeah.
Give me the story of the obviously super young guy, the chubby dude with the mustache and the fro, the that was giving that weird speech in the back of the truck.
Because, like, are they... This is the part, like, are they presupposing that, like, something got in the drugs and then they're behaving this way? That's why these experimental government people are trying to, you know, save face, you know? They're trying to, like, block everything from happening before it breaks out.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's that rapid of a spread, because it also seems like, well, I guess we'd have to get into spoilers so I can really hash out some of the information.
Let's do it. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
So at the end, we are told that unless you accidentally drank the blood or whatever of one of these things, you don't turn. I think our dude at the beginning got bled on all over.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know how the second girl turned into the thing, though. I wasn't really paying attention.
Like, she had a shit ton of blood. Well, she took the drug, right? We know that. And then she had a...
Because I think that the drug was a red herring. I think it's just like, incidentally, they're trying out a new drug and this, all this shit's happening at the same time.
Oh.
So you're not sure if it's really happening or not. I don't know. Did she get bit by the guy? I think she did, right?
The...
I feel like there's a quick thing where she got bit by what's-his-face and she's like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
I think so, yeah.
And then she starts to churn.
Right.
So that's what I'm going to go with. Again, I didn't really care for this movie, so I'm not going to go back and find out.
Okay.
But yeah, that's apparently this pregnant woman finally makes it back to her apartment. Her friend, who was a girlfriend of the guy, has gone completely mad, but you can hear her, like, coyly talking to somebody off screen just to get close to him, and then rips that guy's intestines out. And then she makes it up to her floor where her mom's at, and her mom's face is being eaten by her friend. I don't know. And then, yeah, that's when you meet one of the things, finally, one of the people, the scientists and or SWAT people.
Right.
I'm going to go with scientists because this was a young lady. Didn't look like a professional militant person, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And just tells her, like, hey, don't use the light too much. I'm not going to be able to control myself shortly because she got bit by her friend.
Mm-hmm.
Which, very, in a cool little shot, I'll give it this. That person jumps on the friend, the girlfriend character, and, like, rails on her head with an assault rifle. Which you probably don't want to do in real life, because that's, you're going to kill yourself. But, like, just, like, blows half her face up. Yeah, and it just kind of ends with what this young pregnant woman... In the middle of, like, an apocalypse sort of deal.
Because she's sitting, like, behind two large mirrors, right? Or not mirrors, but windows. And she, there's, like, this chaos going on, right? Like, the whole city's going nuts. So.
Something I didn't get was, like, everything was dressed like fucking Dexter was gonna do a mass killing inside of the entire apartment. Did you see that? Everything was draped with, like, visqueen or, like, painter's drop. Plastic job.
Oh, yeah. I get what you're saying. Yeah, it wasn't like a home. It was like...
I don't know what it was.
New apartments. That look, new apartment construction or something. Yeah. It wasn't like a lived-in home or anything.
Yes. That's it. That's the whole movie.
But somehow this did not resonate with you. I don't
know. Didn't. I did not like
it. I think it's a harmless movie, personally. Like, I think it's pretty, like, I don't feel offended by it. I think it's trying to tell a story in a different way.
If you like this, you might like the show Euphoria. It's that without the zombies.
No, I need the zombies. so no to Euphoria. Plus, I don't like the guy who created it. I think he's a douchebag. But which turns me off. Yeah, that's when people are douchey. It kind of turns me off to the whole show. But what is it? I just think it's like I don't want to come off like it's, oh, this is like the best fucking movie, and like, oh, you don't understand. Like, no, it's not that. It's like I appreciate it for what it's accomplished, though I have issues with it overall in terms of like narrative and story. Characters aren't there, are really thin and underdeveloped, and though I think this movie is definitely like, as the young people would describe, a vibe, something that like enough is there where people can kind of continue to watch it and be interested about what happens, that I could see a younger person seeing this and being like, oh my god, this movie's great. As a
French person.
Ooh la la. This movie's great. But yeah, that's kind of where I stand with it. I don't think I would return to this movie, only because I don't think these characters are interesting. But I think this movie has something about it. It's worth at least a watch. What about you? You're just opposite of that?
Right now, currently, because I didn't bother to check, I'm trying to figure out if Mads means anything.
Okay.
Not finding anything, so I'm just going to say... No, I hope I never see this movie again.
I think with the...
Something I will shout out, uh-huh. I did rewatch Oddity again, and I loved it even more the second time.
Oh, great. Yeah, the Oddity is up there. Yeah, definitely.
So watch that. Not mad.
Fair enough. Alrighty.
Yeah, I was hoping for some sort of clarity by trying to look up the meaning of the title. I couldn't find
it. Well, it has a unique spelling, right? Because it's like Mads, but then the S is capitalized and the rest and nothing else is. But it's kind of written a couple of different ways. On the poster, it's all caps, the word. And in some of the...
Oh, because reversed, it's mad. No, stam. Stam. You see? It's all making more sense now.
Which,
no.
Yeah, if you omit the D, it's Sam, which we all know, famous 17th century French playwright, Sam. Yeah.
Sam.
Who wrote about French stuff. I don't know. Okay, anyway, fair enough.
So you liked it.
I don't think you hated it that much. I disagree with you. So how about that?
This is a movie, I'll be honest, I skipped ahead, and then I was like, no, don't do that. So I went back and watched the parts that I skipped. I was like, why didn't I just stay skipped ahead?
Okay, yeah. Not feeling the movie at all.
No.
So this is going to become this year's come true, like, in a couple of months, you're going to be like, what? That Mads movie was so good.
It's most redeeming quality is it made me realize how much I liked the movie Oddity.
I'm going to remember that. Okay. Fair enough. Why don't we rate the movie then? John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
Well, I know what you're doing.
don't do that. Just rate the movie.
Four sexy spooky bones.
Whoa, dude, that's
not the worst we've ever seen.
That's low.
I can't give it a five though, because it's not something I could sit through. I feel like a five is something where like, oh, I can sit through this.
Okay.
Like I'm just never gonna watch it again. That's where I'm at.
I think this is right in the middle. I think it's just a good movie. I'm gonna say it's a seven. Just okay. It's just good. It's just good. That's it. I think it's worth a watch. Especially if you're interested in like the way, if you hear about the movie and you're interested in about it, like the idea of shooting the whole movie in one shot.
Yeah, then you should definitely watch Fresh and Arc.
That's barely a movie. That's not even 89 minutes. Didn't we talk about this last time?
It's
a PBS special.
To its strength, because you see what happens when you add more character lines that go nowhere.
That's fair. Okay, fair enough. All right, guys, girls, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.